Hey. Hey, Holly.
Hey, Dave.
What is going on today on the What Difference Does It Make podcast?
Oh, Dave, it's another great day at the What Difference Does It Make podcast, isn't it? I just, you know, we love radio. You know, we've always loved radio, and therefore we love speaking to radio people, which is what we get to do today, right?
Yeah. On our last episode, I threw out to the atmosphere like, oh, maybe we'll talk to someone from the Midwest. I don't know. I guess Ohio isn't exactly the Midwest, but it's, let's say Mideast, but it's close. We've talked to people on the coasts. We've talked to Canadians. Now we got someone in Akron, Ohio. And who is that, Holly?
That is Brad Savage, the program director of WAPS, the Summit. Yeah. It's a non-commercial radio station in Akron, Ohio.
Brad is, as you will hear, a huge music fan. So he was excited to get into our list, as we are. He was discovering new music. And I think we discovered a few lost classics as well in this list. So we're going to talk about the songs 90 to 81, played on KROQ in 1985. Is that right?
That is correct. That is the KROQ year-end chart.
Okay. Let's get right into it. This is Brad Savage from the Summit FM in Akron, Ohio, on the What Difference Does It Make podcast.
So I'm in the basement.
Oh, great.
So, yeah. Basement. We don't have basements.
I know. We don't. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Very good.
What do you have in your basement? Is it all albums?
Oh, it's years of music collecting.
Yeah.
Not a ton of vinyl. I mean, there's some vinyl, but it's more CDs and movies, you know. Yeah, it's a little bit out of control. Yeah,
as I was looking at your bio, like most of the people we've talked to kind of stay in one area. Yeah. You are a true radio guy. So, okay, so you grew up in Minnesota, right?
Yeah, I grew up there. And then it was like Missouri was kind of my first full-time stop in Columbia, Missouri, and to Madison, Wisconsin, and Ann Arbor, Michigan. And then to Charlottesville for almost 10 years. And I've been here for 6 years, though. It's harder to move nowadays, so yeah. I don't want to do that again anytime soon.
You couldn't move any further west than Missouri?
Yeah, no kidding.
And Akron's been great for you, it sounds like.
It really has. Yeah. I mean, it was a nice move into the non-com radio world. You know, what drove me wanting to come here was, you know, even more creative freedom and programming freedom and, you know, reaching people that care about music, you know, that want to be challenged, at least to some degree.
Moving from city to city, what's unique about Akron, let's just say, from what you've discovered?
You know, it's interesting because, so Akron, Canton, Youngstown, between, and that's just south of Cleveland, but between those three, there's about a million people across those three cities, so it's a pretty sizable area. And, you know, the big difference has been at the corner in Charlottesville. I feel like it was, you know, we were a commercial station. I was able to take some musical risks and be fairly edgy, but I feel like it had more of an overall place in the larger radio market. Like you could reach, you felt like you were reaching maybe more people, but they weren't as engaged. They weren't as much music people. And the difference with public radio is, like, it doesn't, so in Charlottesville, we kind of felt like, almost like a hot AC usership sometimes, like, you know, a real cross-section of people that weren't music heads, but they tuned to our station. And here, we don't really get that as much, but there's a lot more interaction about what we do play and what the station means to people. You know, it's generally people that are excited to hear something new and different. It's a balancing act in each city, kind of feeling what a sense of each city is like.
I always felt like with a non-com, just as a listener, not as a radio person, obviously the listeners are more passionate and you're a target for them as opposed to, you know, just flipping around the dial.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And there's even more appointment listening or like you're a built-in part of the day and they just anticipate and expect you there. Whereas it was there were definitely more instances of, you know, maybe shorter time frame listening. And we could get people excited about new songs at my previous stops. But, you know, but here they've almost built a trust with me and with the brand and with the station. You know, if we want to do something kind of left of center, they'll roll with it and see what we come up with. We do a theme each night at 7 p.m. called 7 o'clock special. And so it's just a different theme every night in music. And like tonight's show is 60s garage and the Nuggets era and like the roots of punk. And like, I couldn't have gotten away with a whole hour of that back in Virginia. I could have picked one or two songs maybe and done a featurette. But like here, you know, we pre-promote all day, like listen for the 60s garage hour tonight. It's a special theme and you'll hear the Sonics and you'll hear Psychotic Reaction by Count Five and all this crazy stuff. So it's pretty great. It's nice reaching that community of people that, you know, that have an affinity for just the medium of radio and the music.
And that's
rewarding.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's clearly you as yeah, who's totally a huge fan, and you love the themes. And I've just been reading about your new venture. Can you tell me about ham radio? And I don't understand this really.
Well, explain it. Yeah, this is so strange. So I have to credit my radio friend who works in Alaska, in McGrath, Alaska. His name's Paul Walker. And he's at this awesome public station up there, KSKO. So around the holidays, he announces on his social media that he's doing this simulcast of his request show on shortwave radio on this station, WRMI Shortwave. I'm like, wait, how do you do that? You can do that? How can you do that? So anyway, I started talking to him, and I had listened to shortwave and had a shortwave radio growing up and liked tuning in from all over the world. Well, long story short, so the signals are kind of, they're high power, they're like 100,000 watts, many of them, or even more, and they just cover hundreds and thousands of miles across countries, borders, and they'll bounce across the ocean in some cases, and I don't totally understand the tech side of it or whatever, but there are stations that are essentially like, you know, time brokers, where you can sign up to broadcast your own show and send it to them, and they'll put it out on various frequencies that they operate. So there's only a handful. There's probably about 12 or so shortwave operators in the U.S. You know, you give out your email address, and that's part of the geekery of it, is you say, give us your reception report, drop us a line. A guy from, he said he was on a riverboat rafting in Peru, and out in the middle of nowhere with his shortwave radio. And he was like on a holiday or something. And it took a few days and he was back to civilization. And he goes, yeah, I was listening on the Ucayali River in Peru, way out in the middle of nowhere.
That's really fun.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
All right. And so tell us, what is your theme? What are you doing here?
The show that I invented during the pandemic on the summit on my home base station. And it's a special show called Cruise in the Decades. And the idea is we pick one song from every decade of recorded popular music history. So we actually go back and start in the 1910s and then the 1920s and then the 1930s and the 40s. So it's one song per decade up to 2020s. So it's 100 years of music. And I intentionally mix it up. So it's like, we'll do like a 20s jazz and then a 30s blues and then a late 40s R&B, like a roots of rock and roll type song. So I'm trying to hit different sounds and styles, but it's kind of from a AAA or a rock listener viewpoint. So I'll intentionally grab, like, you know, original, like I've played Robert Johnson, Crossroads, which was covered by Cream, or like, you know, stuff that people kind of know from music, from more recent music, but go back and find the original versions and things like that. When the Radio Miami WRMI people were like, what kind of show do you want to do? That's what kind of hit me as being just funky enough and being a 1 hour concept, you know, where you can pick one song per decade. So we call it Cruising the Decades. We do it on Friday afternoons on the summit, and it's gotten such interesting curiosity that I thought that might get some interest, you know, from people just scanning the dial. And at least each, you know, at least one song should hopefully appeal to everybody, you know, depending on their age group and the decades covered and everything. It's going over all right, you know. It's pretty cool.
On Facebook, you're always posting, like, you're going down the rabbit hole for, like, you know, whatever, some sort of theme or some sort of band.
Yeah,
you do that a lot.
So I have a feature called Sorry Not Sorry each afternoon. It's just a one song thing at 4 p.m. And the idea is to find an, you know, a forgotten, oh, wow, kind of song like that. So that is often 80s or even 90s or 2000s at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, it could kind of be anything. But yeah, I love like obscure, cool, classic 80s stuff because that's when I was listening to Top 40 radio growing up in Minnesota.
Yeah. So what was your station of choice? What were you listening to?
Well, you know, at the youngest, you know, in like the grade school and middle school age, it was probably the big top 40 stations there were WLOL and KDWB. KDWB is still going today as a CHR. We had great rock stations too. So I grew up with KQRS, KQ92. The most influential though was in 1990 to 92, KJJO, KJ104 was one of the original commercial modern rock stations when there were probably fewer than 20. And I was only in eighth and ninth grade at that time, but that's where I heard the Ramones, Jane's Addiction, James, Ned's Atomic Dustbin, all those Super Dragons, like all that stuff is what they were playing. And the original Lollapalooza lineup too. That was just so influential to me. That station is kind of what inspired me to want to pick songs on the radio for people. It's just so much music that I found there.
Counting down the hits, as we do on the What Difference Does It Make podcast. We're looking at songs K-Rock played in 1985. Let's just stop for a second, calm down, cool our jets, and take a break.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
We'll be right back.
welcome back to the What Difference Does It Make podcast and our guest, Brad Savage.
So, all right, so let's get into it already. Jeez, yapping. Let's go. All right. So we're going to do songs 90 to 81. These were played on KROQ in 1985. This is from their year-end list. We'll go through it, and we can kind of shake our head and going, what was going on here? Okay, so this was number 90 is Dead or Alive, In Too Deep, which is not the Genesis song, which came out a year later. Actually, there was another. What was it? Sum 41, another band had In Too Deep.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Did you see the video? This Little Mermaid video?
Yeah. You know, so this is what's interesting because to me, I didn't know this particular Dead or Alive song. In my universe, they're kind of relegated to the one hit status, you know, for Spin Me Round. And I liked this song quite a lot, but I didn't really know it as, you know, it's one of those songs that hasn't endured, which means it would be a great surprising flashback.
I could offer you a thousand things, but with a lot of them you wouldn't bother. I could buy you 10 real diamond rings, but I'm sure that she would want another. I could take a plane and I could fly away. I could steal a car and I could drive away. You have brought me a lot of things, but the main one that you brought was trouble. You put your finger to the trigger and you shot my heart. Well, now I'm really gonna burst your bubble. I can take a plane and I can fly away. I can steal a car and I can drive away. But I'm
this song, it made it up to number 14 in the UK. I think people know, you know, obviously people know You Spin Me Round. But I also think that people know the name Pete Burns. Like he was kind of like a,
true.
He was kind of like a, you know, like a Boy George, kind of this unique character. Yeah. So
he was an icon and he was, this video, I mean, I always loved his look back then. I tried to, you know, emulate his look. But the hair in this one with the Aquanet, you know, hairspray, this video was awesome.
You did love it?
Yeah.
Yeah, what was it? Little Mermaid didn't come out till 89, something like that. And this was like, it felt like it was like a Disney movie. Like they were ripping off Little Mermaid, but this came out before Little Mermaid. But this album, Youthquake, I don't know if did you have Youthquake? You did. Okay. Yeah. It went gold. It sold like over 500,000 in the US.
They were huge in my world. Everything. And I had not heard this song, and You Spin Me Around is not one of my favorite Dead or Alive songs. But as soon as this song, cause I watched the video, I found myself singing at the top of my lungs. I didn't even remember. It just wasn't at the top of my, you know, it wasn't top of mind singing at the top of my lungs. I love this song.
That's
you know?
Cool.
So did they also have a hit, Brand New Lover? Is that them?
Yeah, that was a little bit later. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's the other one that I kind of knew by them. But, you know, it's funny to remember that all these bands had ongoing albums and careers. And like, even though I'm a couple of years too young to have experienced some of those, there's always more to go back and find.
Yeah. All right. Here's some. This band was so big. This is the first song of four that are on the charts on this K-Rock chart. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So we're going to be talking a lot about Dead or Alive in the future.
As we should.
As we should. Yep. I mean, this is a great dance song. Were you ever spinning in the clubs? Did you do anything like that?
No, not really. I always kind of wanted to, but never really got to do that. I DJ'd weddings on the side, and I don't miss that. I mean, that pays well.
Yes,
you can get some decent money for that, but it was just like, it would take your whole Saturday, you know, and then you had to deal with the toughest program directors in the world. Brides.
Yeah. That's why they pay well.
That's right. Got to do what you got to do. Let's go to number 89 and the catchiest of all catch-alls. This is Walking on Sunshine by Katrina and the Waves, which reached number 9 in the U.S. And I believe every single generation knows this song.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, this is an interesting group that has really prevailed. And I love the film and the book High Fidelity. And there's a scene in that where Jack Black is dancing to it at the record store.
Yours, I assume? Okay, buddy, I was just trying to cheer us up, so go ahead. Put on some old sad bastard music, see if I can.
Gosh, we still play this on my station, especially during the summertime, on like just a beautiful blue sky, sunny summer day, you know?
Would you dare play this in January in Akron, Ohio?
Yeah, possibly to try and annoy the, you know, sometimes you have to poke fun at the weather a little bit, but yeah, probably not on the regular basis.
Ironically.
Ironically, you can totally do it. Yep.
You know, I think of Katrina and the Waves as kind of like this one hit wonder. However, kind of looking at their bio, they had a huge hit. Are you familiar with the Eurovision? In Europe, like where they find the like the best song of the year.
Yeah, right. It's kind of like the Star Search type show, right?
Yeah. But songwriters submit songs and then people sing. Yeah, I mean it's huge. So incredible.
But apparently, someone like Katrina and the Waves can submit a song, and this won in 1997. The song "Love Shine a Light" actually won.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Love, shine a light in every corner of my heart. Let the love light carry, let the love light carry. Light up the magic in every little part. Let our love shine a light in every corner of our hearts.
This was a huge hit in the UK back in the 97. You know, of course, it doesn't cross over to the US. A lot of people just know them as the Love Shine a Light band.
Wow.
Right?
See, I remember there was a song in like 88 or 89 maybe by them called That's the Way that I remember from WLOL in the Twin Cities, which was, you know, later. It was probably a mid-charter. It was probably in the 20s or 30s somewhere. And I remember that song. But for sure, Walking on Sunshine is the signature tune for that band.
Yeah. Number 88. This is a band, Lloyd Cole and the Commotions, and a great song that I love called Perfect Skin. This was a debut. This is their debut album. The album was called Rattlesnakes. Are you familiar with Lloyd Cole and the song?
For sure. And that's one where I credit KJ104 back in the Twin Cities, which they were on air when Don't Get Weird on Me, Babe was current. So I knew they played Tell Your Sister and She's a Girl and I'm a Man. And by liking those songs, I became familiar with some of the earlier stuff, including Perfect Skin. So I knew this one, but I feel like music people for sure know who he is, but he never really broke through in the U.S. the way that he deserved, you know, like all this early Lloyd Cole stuff is so great.
I choose my friends only far too well. I'm up on the pavement and they're all down in the cellar with their government grants. And my IQ, they brought me down a size. Academia blues. And Louise is a girl, I know her well. She's up on the pavement. Yeah, she's a weather girl, and I'm staying up here. So I may be undone, she's inappropriate, but then she's much more fun. And when she smiles my way, my eyes go out in vain. She's got perfect skin.
Yeah, just production-wise, I love the song a lot, and I think it still holds up.
Really cool. For sure. He's definitely got, you know, cult following, people that collect all of his releases and singles and things like that too. So that's one of those that like feel like our station, you know, our type, especially in the non-com world, we can kind of champion artists like that, right. that means something to the music people. There's a lot more passion to an artist like that and a wow factor, you know, when you dig out one of those songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Brad lives for the oh wow. He wants those moments.
Yeah,
totally. He wouldn't be in radio if it wasn't for the oh wows.
That's right.
All right. This is a song that we're going up to 87, Prince and the Revolution, Raspberry Beret. This is the second of two songs from the chart, the highest charting one. When did Prince enter your world?
Well, you know, we have it's kind of funny. So I'm from Minnesota, and yeah. Prince was a thing for sure, but I was pretty young at the point of those early records. So I remember being on a family vacation in Hawaii. I was probably, I don't know, 6 or 7, and I brought a radio and was tuning around to the Hawaii stations, and I heard this song by Prince, and I was like recording it on a cassette tape, and I ran out of time on the cassette tape, and I remember being so sad and telling mom and dad, like, I'll never hear this song again. We don't have this in Minnesota. Because at that point, he wasn't played on Top 40 in Minnesota. But when we got back from the trip, within a few weeks, they started playing it. And that was, that's the first one I remember anyway.
What song was it?
I'm sorry, When Doves Cry was the song in that example. Yeah, yeah. So a couple years earlier on Purple Rain. But yeah, like Prince entered, you know, he's a big part of the vernacular for anyone that grew up in Minnesota, for sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was the same way. Yeah. But yeah, I remember when I heard When Doves Cry, I practically pulled to the side of the road and like, what is happening? What is this?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting to me, was K-Rock a pretty good champion of Prince for those 80s years? I mean, did they play a lot of those songs?
Not too much. I think Purple Rain, in Purple Rain, but I don't remember hearing like Controversy or any of those. They weren't on the charts. I remember reading about Prince and seeing things like I heard about like he opened up for the Rolling Stones and he got booed off the stage. And so, you know, like I heard different things about Prince and like, okay, maybe this is something I need to look into. And then like, I think it was something I really had to look for initially, but then, you know, once 1999 struck, then it was like, okay, I'm all in.
Yeah, as far as K-Rock, the one standout song that I remember K-Rock playing, which is how I got turned onto it, is Erotic City.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was at that time where they played everything from Prince, even Erotic City, which was a B-side.
I think they got fined for that somewhere along the way, because I think they were playing an unedited version or something.
He was saying
I
funk.
I think in the beginning,
it was
yes.
funk, not what you think it was.
Yeah, I know. Like, that's what's so funny. Like, I'm pretty sure it's funk as well.
So talking about funking, have you ever, Prince was working at the Five and Dime. His boss was Mr. McGee. He sees this woman. He rides on his bike to Old Man Johnson's farm, and then they start funking. So, you know, that's what, and, you know, fine. You could do that. We could play that.
Several times that he didn't like my kind, 'cause I was a bit too lean.
Yeah, that was fine. Yeah. P.S. Do you remember the cover of Raspberry Beret by the Hindu Love Gods around 1990 or so?
Have you seen Prince before? Going back to Prince, did you ever go?
We did. Yeah. We did. My wife and I, when I lived in Virginia, he played a show in Greensboro, South Carolina, North Carolina. What? There are all those boroughs in North and South Carolina. So we did a road trip. It was like 3 hours, but it was like, yeah, it was Prince and Chaka Khan.
Beautiful.
This was like probably 2013 or so. And it was awesome. Oh, it was so great. I'm so glad because I never saw him in the Twin Cities when I was growing up.
You said a minute ago that Prince is part of the vernacular in Minneapolis, which we know this to be the case. I'm trying to think of here in Los Angeles, do you think, I mean, other than like the Beach Boys, is there another band that you could associate like Prince's with Minneapolis? Yeah, I mean, Prince is like sewn into the fabric of Minneapolis.
Wow. Well, there's a lot of bands.
I mean, we have like a lot of those bands, but
Guns N' Roses, you ever heard of them?
Oh, or,
you
know, Guns N' Roses.
I have to go to the 80s hair metal band.
Yeah, that's true.
Were you into hair metal at all?
Oh, yeah. I kind of skipped over that in the introduction.
Okay.
But yes. Like, I was way into the final years of hair metal. And, so I was in kind of middle school at that time.
Perfect.
And the reason I started listening to that station, KJ104, was previous to it flipping to modern rock in 1990, they were called Hot Rockin' 104, and they were playing all the hair bands.
Tired of those wimpy rock sissy oldie stations? Then welcome. This is Hot Rockin' 104 FM, and we're gonna kick some ass.
And I was so annoyed when they changed formats, because I was like, what the hell is the Smiths? I've never even heard of this, you know? And he eventually came to love it, of course, but oh yeah, I have a real soft spot for all the hard rockin' and the hair era in the last few years. Like, I like Saigon Kick a whole bunch.
Oh, okay.
Nice. I liked them, and I liked, just all the, and Warrant. I was a good Warrant fan. And funny enough, the late lead singer, Janie Lane, come to find out, he grew up in Akron and started his first band here in Akron and at Kent State in Kent, which is right next to us here.
Yeah.
So before relocating out to Sunset Strip Sound.
Yeah. Have you made a pilgrimage out here?
Only once. I've only visited once, and we did go to the Rainbow, so that was pretty sweet, but I'd like to come back. I've only really spent time in L.A. that one time. Yeah, you might have to show me around.
Oh, yeah. Very happy to do that, but I love that you're only here for one time, and you had to go to the Rainbow.
Yeah, it was like a couple of my friends were like, we got to go see the Rainbow. And we did catch a glimpse of Lemmy sitting at the bar that very night.
Well,
so
it was not
the biggest star sighting.
Yeah. It's not a rare occurrence. He literally was just there. I mean, just playing the blackjack machine, just all 24 hours a day, all the time. That's Lemmy. There you go.
That's Lemmy.
There you go. Yep. We're talking LA. Let's move to number 86. Cheech Marin, Born in East LA, a song that was so great that they made a movie out of this, the song.
Yes. First
came the song, then came the movie. So 1985, Born in East LA. Are you familiar at all with Cheech and Chong? You know?
So yes. And well, actually my dad has a couple of Cheech and Chong records.
Good,
so
as he should.
I was well influenced from a young age, but yeah. And this was a song that I was hearing as a novelty tune on the top 40 stations at the time in Twin Cities. Springsteen was so big at this time that they were playing the parody. So I have this 45. Somewhere.
Oh, that's great.
Somewhere. I still have it. And I do recall seeing the film once. And gosh, I need to look that up again someday.
Right?
Took a walk to the corner store just to buy a loaf of bread and a box of s'mores. I pulled a guy in a yellow van, shiny gold badge flashing in his. One thing to ask you, nothing more. So answer in English,
if you can. Where were you born, man?
Huh? Where was I born?
That's right, I said, where were you born?
Hey, are you one of those dudes that do horoscopes, man? Hey, I'm a Cancer with a bad moon rising.
Look here, Elfago, watch my lips. Where were you born?
I was born in East L.A., man. I was born in East L.A.
Oh, yeah, you're born in East L.A. Well, let's see your green card, huh?
Green card? I'm from East L.A.
All right, well, then who's president of the United States?
Oh, that's easy, man. That guy that used to be on Death Valley days, John Wayne.
All right, let's go. Come on.
Did you get Dr. Demento?
Yes. Actually, so Dr. Demento was aired on that same station on KJ104, and they even played Dr. Demento when it was hot rocking, and it survived the format change. Yeah. So Dr. Demento is pretty universal.
He had some pretty hardcore fans, so yes. I think they would have spoken up. I mean, there needed to be a home for it.
Yep.
I mean, the song is really good, and the
it is pretty good.
Yeah, and the video
was fun too. Yeah,
I mean, it's unfortunately it's still kind of relevant today, so you know, it mm-hmm. kind of holds up. The movie made $17 million at the box office, up to like the 64th biggest movie of the year, in between Cher's Suspect and Masters of the Universe. So
okay, cool.
Are you kids in the Masters of the Universe? Have you introduced them into that world?
No, you know, no, I should see. There's another one from my list. I got to dig that out and see how it goes over.
He-Man. Yeah. Come on.
Yep. Yep. Oh. I bet they'd like it. I bet. Although the animation probably isn't up to par by today's standards. On that topic, it's funny because David, my older son, had a couple of weeks where he loved the Jetsons and he was binging all the Jetsons episodes. But after he saw him, he kind of was over it, you know, but I liked that it connected at least for a while.
Okay. Yeah. Here is a fun fact. Someone actually did this. They did the research. George Jetson was born this year.
I saw a blur, like a meme or something about that. Yeah. Yeah. Born this year.
Oh, what about Jane, his wife?
Yeah, she was probably a younger trophy wife. So yeah, maybe not yet, But so, you know, flying cars will be in 40 years, right? That's where we're.
I think that's great. I can't wait to see it.
I can't wait. I know. It's exciting. It's coming our way. Flying cars and Rosie the Maid. Oh, it's going to be great. This has got to be the one-hit wonder of all one-hit wonders. This is Baltimora, Tarzan Boy. Oh. Everyone knows this song. I mean, this is.
It's a great. Yeah.
It's that's still catchy.
I have that in the library on the summit. Now, I don't play that regularly, but I've dragged that out for the Sorry Not Sorry on occasion. You know, this brings back good memories for people, I guess.
Yeah, it was, peaked at number 13 in 1986. And these are guys from Milan, Italy.
But, okay.
But it was kind of like an international hit. It was like a Mambo number 5 type thing where, you know, like everyone knows it. But, you know, it was like a worldwide hit. Despacito or something. Just a song that just the whole world just embraced.
Songs like that are fascinating. I love those songs that like, you know, that people in distant countries that we wouldn't even think might be familiar with, just people on the street, you know, if you travel to a place like that, that's a cultural bond right there. Some of those pop songs.
Right.
Hey. Yes, no, it is. Even though we're singing the words in English, they're singing them in English, having no idea
what they mean.
What they mean.
Or even even if they do sing in a different language, but you can just go whoa 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 whoa, whoa and everyone follows along. I love that. Yep. Moving on to number 84. This is Graham Parker. This is from an album, Steady Nerves, and he had the biggest song of his career on this record, which wasn't that big. It was number 39. The song was Wake Up Next to You. Did okay. It was like a top 40 hit for him, which Graham joked about. Like I guess that makes me a one-hit wonder because that was his only hit. But the song that K-Rock decided to play is Break Them Down, which is actually a pretty good song. I really like this one.
Missionary's position is clear.
Very good song, and the one that I was not previously familiar with.
Yeah.
I need to fill in some of the catalog, some of the albums with him, because I feel like I've never quite known enough about his album, except Squeezing Out Sparks. I've spent a lot of time with that record, which I love, but some of that 80s era stuff I need to know better. We play Get Started, Start a Fire sometimes the station. I have that in the library. That might, I think, was a couple of years after this one. He was in This Is 40.
That's right.
Remember that film?
Yeah. Paul Rudd was like
himself as kind of a struggling artist, you know.
True to life. It was very true to life.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a little insight into the music industry.
Yeah. It really was. We need to go back and see that movie again. That was a good film.
Yeah. Yeah. A little too true sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
From the retro label Unfiltered comes the first Graham Parker in the Rumor record in 30 years.
When we played together, the magic was just ridiculous, and I think what we've got is just so great.
What are you doing?
I'm contextualizing him as one of the great figures in rock history.
You can't show him in his prime in 77 and then jump straight to him as he is now. It's terrifying. You got to reverse it. You got to show him as he is now, very briefly, and then show him in 1977. You got to Benjamin Button it.
I know what you're talking about, okay? All rock stars are older now. Steven Tyler, David Bowie, Mick Jagger.
Paul McCartney.
Okay, stop it. Everybody that you are mentioning looks like an old woman now. You're just mentioning a bunch of Jessica Tandys. Keith Richards gets away with it. But that's because Keith Richards looked 70 when he was 40. And now that he's 70, he looks 69. He's regenerating.
So is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame like a big, big deal for you guys?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the mindset at our station is we love it. They're super easy to work with. We've gone to their facility to do interviews with certain artists, that don't have time to make the trip to Akron, but the Rock Hall is great for saying, use the studio and come on up, you know? And we just did that last summer with Amethyst Kia, as a matter of fact. You know, she didn't have time to travel to Akron, but she had a show in Cleveland, and the next morning before leaving town, she really wanted to go see the Rock Hall. So we set it up to go do a sit-down interview with her there and get some photos, and I love that the Rock Hall's right here. Like, it was a big selling point for me to wanting to come to this area. I hope we can do even more with them. We get some people that are like, you know, every time they announce a list, some people are like, how can they let Janet Jackson in? She's not rock. Oh, you know, and like, I'm so tired of that, like, that philosophy, you know.
Well, okay, so who is who has been snubbed that you want to see in there?
The big one, of course, was Akron's own Devo, who were on the ballot last year but didn't make it. And the whole city of Akron did a whole thing. They were putting up Devo, like Devo statuettes and like just weird looking Devo art sculptures around the city and everything. But I think they're going to make it in the next few years.
They should.
Yeah, they really should.
Yeah. I was kind of prompting you for that. I was like waiting for you
to say Devo. Yeah. But I think like there's just so much Devo love in Akron area that to me, it's almost like they almost already are, you know?
Is it like Prince in Minneapolis? Like, you know, like they own that. I guess Chrissy Hynde. And I mean, what is, can you do a rock and roll tour at Akron? You could say, okay, here's where Chrissy Hynde went to school.
You actually can. I mean, there's quite a bit. Besides Devo and Chrissy, you know, and the Black Keys, of course, James Ingram was from here.
Oh, is that right?
And, you know, he grew up in this area and like went to University of Akron and things like that. And like, he passed away a few years ago, but they renamed a street as James Ingram Way in Akron.
Love
so,
it.
You know, and he co-wrote a bunch of the songs on Thriller and like worked with Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
So he's from here, you know, and then you've got this like kind of next tier of super cool Akron breakout artists like Jessica Lee Mayfield and Joseph Arthur. There was also this additional kind of Akron punk thing around Devo where certain bands like the Bizarros and Tin Huey and Rachel Sweet and all these others were like coming up kind of underneath. They weren't quite as, you know, mass known as Devo, but there was definitely an Akron punk moment. In 1978, Stiff Records did a full album called the Akron Compilation. And it's a bunch of those bands, like that next tier of Akron, Ohio punk bands that got released on Stiff Records as a compilation in the UK. It's so cool.
You've done your Akron research.
I love this stuff. It was when I was moving all the time, that was one of my favorite things to do, is like kind of research the music history stories, like stuff that broke out to some degree, at least nationally, from each city. Like when I was in Missouri, I discovered that Gravity Kills was from Jefferson City, Missouri. Remember them in the 90s?
Yeah.
That's a great band. And, you know, I always knew them as a St. Louis band, but really they formed in Jefferson City, Missouri. You know, everybody had a story of how all the local bands wanted to get to that level, you know?
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
All right, let's go to number 83. The 80s are filled with duos. Here's a great duo, Go West. It's another duo that we love, like Tears for Fears, Hall & Oates, Wham, all those guys. This was Go West. The song is Eye to Eye, and it reached up to number 73 in the U.S., and I guess there was a dance track. It didn't feel like a dance song to me, but it reached number 32 on the dance tracks. So I don't know. You know, obviously, Go West had some more to offer for us, but this was the song that K-Rock played.
You mean other than the King of Wishful Thinking?
Well,
that's what you're saying.
Well, you're thinking of Pretty Woman, but yeah, there was, you know, like Call Me was a song that, and Faithful.
That's a band that outside of King of Wishful Thinking, I had never really known or spent a lot of time with.
Yeah.
So I might need to go back and rediscover this stuff. See, I love the K-Rock history because that like, you know, it kind of pegs me to say, like, I need to listen to these and get to know them a little more.
So, yeah. So a theme would be 80s duos, and you could include Go West. And this song, Eye to Eye. So did you give it a listen? What do you think of this song?
Yeah, I liked it. And this is another one where I just didn't know this one at all. But I love coming across stuff like that.
Yeah.
I could see it being a little bit, you know, I think dance sort of meant a different thing in the early 80s. So I guess I can see that.
Yeah, it was kind of, we talked, like there were some songs that felt a little more adult that K-Rock started playing. And this was definitely something that was more sophisticated, I guess.
It's a sad situation.
And Holly, I guess you were a king of wishful. You were a pretty woman, weren't you? Were you all in on that?
You know what? They of the duos, you know, of the 80s, they were not the top of my favorite duos list.
Okay, well, what about Eye to Eye? What did you?
I didn't remember this song.
Not at all. So, what do you think of it? Hearing it in,
it's nice. It's nice.
Nice. Totally.
All right. Wow. That's very diplomatic of you. Okay.
Well, Dave, what do you think?
It's not a Tarzan boy, I'll tell you that.
That's right.
Or Walking on Sunshine.
No, not at all. Okay. So let's keep moving then. Number 82, Supergroup, The Firm, and the song Radioactive. Paul Rodgers.
Love it.
Well, sure. You're a metal guy, apparently.
I'm a rocker.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised, though, to see that this had been played on K-Rock.
Right.
I would have thought it was too rock for K-Rock.
Me too.
K-Rock was like modern rock, alternative, whatever. And this, to me, is like a KLOS song, you know?
Last week, Phil Collins, Billy Don't Lose My Number, was on there.
Yeah.
And there was an Elton John song on there. So they were kind of testing the waters, I think, kind of dipping their toes and like, all right, hey, KLOS listeners, look, you know, we got this. You know, you might like what we're playing now.
I had forgotten about the song, and I do not remember hearing it played on K-Rock at the time, but I love this song.
Well, and we're still in the 80s in this countdown, so it may have been more of a flavor or a test. You know, it may not have been played as all that much, but it was there to some degree, which is an interesting programming tactic.
As we looked at like early 80s, they you could hear Rush, you'd hear Rolling Stones, you'd hear a lot of different things on K-Rock. So they were always trying different things. I mean, you look at Tony Franklin, who's the bassist. I don't know if you saw the video, but he had like a haircut like Lamal from Kaja Goo Goo. He had like this. I mean, it was like, okay, this is definitely in the 80s.
Yep.
I like the fact, you know, like Paul Rodgers and Jimmy Page playing together. That was kind of a interesting matchup.
Well, I'm not uptight, not unattractive. Turn me on tonight, 'cause I'm a radioactive, radioactive. Well, it's not a fight, and I'm not your captive. Turn me loose tonight, 'cause I'm a radioactive, radioactive. I want to stay.
In a way, Paul Rodgers is kind of cooler than he gets credit for. Like, you know, if you say all-time great classic rock, people are going to say Zeppelin or The Doors or The Who or The Rolling Stone. And, like, Bad Company is almost, you know, like a little further down the list, and they maybe should be higher.
Yeah.
You know, that vocal of his is unbelievable.
Oh,
yeah. That voice.
Phenomenal. Yeah. I mean, you know, Paul Rodgers, they were on Swan Song, the Zeppelin's label.
Yeah.
But, yes.
But yeah, I mean, that like an iconic voice, just phenomenal. Yep. Still need voices like that. Chris Slade went on to drum for AC/DC. You know, when Phil Rudd was in trouble, when he was, if he was in trouble with the law, then they brought in Chris Slade.
Yep.
This was a very good example of a supergroup and a great sound, a little bit of everything. Like what they, you know, you can hear their influences.
Yeah, but it's kind of cool. I like trying different things. I love, you know, are you enjoying what Robert Plant's doing now with Alison Krauss and doing that stuff?
I love it.
Right?
I think it's, to me, it was super cool that the first single off the new record is that Lucinda Williams cover.
Right. Can't Let Go,
Yeah, because it was just like, you know, that's a song. Her version of that is a gold for us. So it was kind of like instantly familiar, such a cool talking point.
Right.
But the album's just terrific. It's really, I really think those two working together have a really special sound. So I'm glad that second album happened 14 years later.
Right.
You know?
Why not? Yeah. They're kind of another super duo right there. I love it. It's great.
Yep.
Yeah. I hope.
And they're timeless.
Yep.
They really are, both of them. I love that Robert Plant doesn't need Zeppelin. He doesn't, he doesn't need to look back. He's doing things that excite him. So that's great. And I wish Jimmy Page would kind of pair himself up with with Morrissey or something. I don't know. Right, exactly. You get that look, but yeah, maybe it might work. You never know.
Yeah.
Who knows? Try something new. I'm sure you know. What? Yeah. Just my two cents. Whatever. Okay, let's keep moving. Okay, we're at the this is it. This is our the Dream Academy, which like the Paisley Underground sound, and this is the Love Parade, which is I think it's brilliant. I didn't realize until I looked it up. It was produced by David Gilmour from Pink Floyd.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh. I know, I found the same, and I was thinking, that David Gilmour?
Yeah, that David Gilmour.
Right.
Yeah.
And to me, this is another one where I didn't know this song. I knew and I know Life in a Northern Town.
Yeah.
This is another band that has kind of been, relegated to just that one song. So it's cool to explore the catalog a little bit more and hear what else they were doing.
Life in the Northern Town made it up to number 7. And for some reason, it is not on the K-Rock chart at all. They're like, you know what? We're not going to, I'm sure
they're
play.
We're not going to play that one.
I know. It's too popular. We're not going to play it. K-Rock had a lot of that attitude. So they played Love Parade, which is still a great song. And Holly, what do you think of that?
Yeah, it's nice. I didn't remember it either.
Oh, really?
It's good. You know, I was a huge fan. I liked Life in a Northern Town. But it was good to revisit. And of course, the whole David Gilmour thing gives you a little more of an impetus to go back and listen to it.
Oh, sure.
See if you can hear it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know it either.
Yeah. If you listen to the album, it's like an adult sound a little bit.
Yeah.
It's something a little bit different. When you compare it to like Radioactive or something, it's like, wow, okay. They're playing this as well. That's great. Yeah,
did you like it then, Dave?
I did. Yeah. I mean, I love the Paisley sound and just kind of like that kind of evoked of the 60s a little bit. You got your Prince and you got the Dream Academy also doing like rediscovering the 60s. And so I was all in on this. There you go. There's our 10 songs.
Love it. This is a really fun show, guys. Thanks. So cool. Yeah.
All right.
I think I know where it is. You remember WOXY 97X Foxy from Cincinnati? And well, they used to do the Modern Rock 500 on Memorial Day weekend. And I have one of those, or a couple of those, it's somewhere saved the archives, of the 500 songs. And I think I have like the 1998 or 1999 version. So I feel like I need to send that to you guys and you can do a show about that in the future.
Keep going. That's right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But it would take, they would do, I remember listening on the internet when that was a brand new thing, they would take all weekend to do 500 song greatest alternative of all time countdown. So
yeah, it was fun, and you were afraid of missing something, and now you can have anything on demand.
yep.
So you probably get listeners from all over the place now. Are you getting it?
I mean, most of our internet listening frequently is like they have a connection to Ohio or they used to live here or something, and but we're starting to get I think our number is like in the 8 or 10% range that are like beyond signal coverage, beyond terrestrial coverage of our signals, that are members, that are actually subscribers to the station, which is great.
That's great.
I mean, so it really is. It's all about the brand and what makes your station really memorable and special and unique and local and all of these things. So I think that for our type of stations, that's the future, you know, is building out the brand hyper focused on a certain locality, but also branding out beyond that, you know, and just finding your tribe elsewhere.
Yeah, I know. That's it is crazy. I mean, it's no longer the dial. You can't think of it like that anymore.
Yeah. Such a different mindset, especially for someone who grew up in radio, you know?
Really. Yeah. Yeah. And I think like there's still an excitement though about the idea of hearing it over the air and like tuning in a signal, even among young people, they like that idea. I think that it's just that radio itself has done a not very good job in the past few decades, you know, of cultivating a next generation of listeners. Yeah. But I think that the idea of that broadcast, I think that's why the shortwave thing is catching people's attention, you know, like the idea of like someone listening in Madison, Wisconsin, but some dude in Peru at the same time listening to the same show. Like, that's pretty cool.
It's great. So, you have like a kids channel? There's like an HD?
Well, we do. Yeah. So our HD, we have Kajam Radio, which is a station really hyper-targeted at, say, about 8 to 12-year-olds, you know, just preteen, but before they start getting bombarded with advertising messages and, like, you know, the consumerism stuff. So we just play clean, fun pop tunes, new, old, and whatever. But the DJs on Kid Jam are short messages from kids in the Akron Public Schools. Yeah. Our license is held by Akron Public Schools. So we work with a couple of the different schools, but one school in town in particular called Miller South has kind of like a drama type program. And so we get a bunch of their kids recording messages about, you know, just exercise or eating right or being healthy or not being a bully or what to do if a bully comes after you, you know, or like things like that. And it's kind of a fun thing. It makes us look good to the public school system, you know, that holds the license. So it's good.
Yeah, that's
cool. You're cultivating the next generation of jocks.
We hope so.
Right. Yeah.
Although when we do get student tours or things like that, because our studios are actually at one of the high schools. Like, we're not directly in the building, but we're connected to the building. But it's funny, when we give the tours, like I said, they're interested in radio and, like, you know, talking over the air and how that all works. But they're also interested in the technology and, like, how do you send a signal and, like, you know, or
amazing,
like social media stuff or what video do you guys do, you know? So it's kind of interesting that it's expanded. It used to be people dreamed of being the ones to talk on the radio. I know I did. And, like, we still do find some of those people, but really all the different facets of the technology is a big part of it now.
Yep. That's so funny. That's such a huge...
LeBron's from around there. Have you seen
him? He was playing. Well, I was here for a couple of years when, you know, when he was still with the Cavs and the big year that they won in 2016. But yeah, LeBron grew up in Akron and still maintains a residence here, although I think he mostly is based in LA now. And, like, he's done a lot. Like,
yeah, he still has, you know, like, a...
With the school, right?
This area. So the school, the I Promise School, is also part of the Akron Public Schools, which holds our license. So I'd like to do more on the shoulders of the LeBron story, you know, and, like, maybe he can do a weekly radio show someday. How cool would that be?
You got to work on that. I know. That's...
You would think. It doesn't seem so far-fetched.
It doesn't. You know, yeah, I mean, it's probably just time and everything. But, I mean, maybe he'd do a monthly special. We've also approached Mark Mothersbaugh with that idea, by the way, too, of like a
well, he wrote
a monthly radio special.
He
so.
Wrote Rugrats. That's him.
Yes. Yep. Yep. So, and I you know, and the nice thing about being a public radio station like that is I was able to say, just create your love song mixtape to your hometown, like no parameters at all. Like, you can play whatever you want. So might be time to knock on his door again sometime soon here.
Got to do that.
That's,
All right. So plug yourself. When do we hear Brad Savage on the air?
So I'm on from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern time, weekdays. So each weekday afternoon, and We do a local music. Our area code is 330. So at 3:30 p.m. we do a local feature every day, and then my Sorry Not Sorry flashback is at 4 p.m. every day. So yeah, each weekday afternoon and various special programs and weekend type stuff and whatever. So it's a labor of love for sure.
So when I'm yelling at Alexa, do I say play the Summit or do I say WAPS?
Say play the Summit Radio. And it seems, I think you can now, I think it works now if you just say the Summit, but just to be safe, we say play the Summit Radio and that'll bring her on in.
Okay. So, all right. I'll have to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course. All right. Take care of your kids, Brad. Why are you ignoring them? I mean, come on.
Great. Holly, it's nice to meet you.
So nice to meet you.
I've known of you for a while. I've heard of you years past, so it's nice to meet virtually. And Dave, it's so good to reconnect again.
Yeah. I mean, that's the reason I'm doing this, just so I can reach out to everybody that I love.
Exactly. Yes.
Yep. Absolutely.
It was really fun to have you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks much. Yeah.
So Brad is a huge music geek. He's a music nerd, but I'd like to think of him as a radio nerd. Just geek out about songs that were played back in 1985.
I love how much he loves radio, and I love how much he loves music. And it's always nice to hear somebody when they're surprised when you throw a forgotten song at them. Somebody who knows so much about music. It's almost like I expose someone to something new.
The main reason I do this is because I like to reach out to my friends and have them come on the podcast. I also love to hear their take on these long forgotten songs and wonder if they're relevant still. And I think a vast majority of these songs that we listen to are still very memorable and wonderful. We talked for a while. Some of the stuff that we talked about, it might not be on our podcast, but there's other ways to hear stuff that we talk about. Isn't that right, Holly?
There absolutely is. There will be outtakes on our YouTube channel. So just search for What Difference Does It Make Podcast. Also, we'll be posting some of the outtakes and little bits and pieces on all our social media at WDDIM Podcast. So subscribe.
Thanks again. We're gonna continue our countdown with Who Knows Who. I don't know. We'll see, because we have new episodes every Friday. Your guess is as good as mine at this time, at this juncture.
But it'll be fun. For sure it will be fun.
It will be. We're all about the fun. So until our next fun-filled episode, this is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out. What Difference Does It Make is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.